All right, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 63 through 71. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?" And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, "Art thou the Christ? Tell us." And he said unto them, "If I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then said they all, "Art thou then the Son of God?" And he said unto them, "You say that I am." And they said, "What need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth." Title of our thoughts this evening is Jesus before the council. Jesus before the council. I came to this passage of Scripture and I was studying this passage of Scripture and was reading some things involving this passage of Scripture, and I came across some thoughts by a man that are just all-powerful and moving. I would say theologically deep. And we may not make any progress tonight in really grasping how deep the things are that we find here in these verses. Art thou the Christ? Are you the anointed one? Are you the Messiah? They asked Jesus. Art thou then the Son of God? Are you the Son of God? Do you claim to be the Son of God? They ask Jesus these questions not because they wanted to know, not because they really wanted an answer, but they asked Jesus these questions in hopes that he would say something that would justify them rushing him to crucifixion. Are you the Messiah, the promised one? Let's see what he says. We're looking for something to catch him with. Are you the Son of God? Let's see what he says. Let's try to find something that justifies our kangaroo court and our bloodthirst and our desire to crucify him. As you look at Luke's record, we have Jesus in the agony of the garden, verse 39 to about 46, followed by the betrayal of Judas, verse 47 to about 53 when they came and they seized him. Then you have Peter's denial, the record of Peter's denying the Lord as the Lord had prophesied he would. And then Luke's record has us pretty much in the daylight hours that followed, and Jesus before the Jewish court of the day and council of the day. What you find in, I think it's Matthew and Mark, maybe both, is after his being seized in the garden, he is rushed into a quickly organized assembly of this council. And they run through the charges. I think it was the son or the son-in-law of the high priest. It wasn't the high priest of the time. But they run him through this first trial in the middle of the night, during the darkness. And Luke's record has the sun up, it's morning, and they pose these questions to Jesus Christ. Now just ponder, just think about these things I'm going to say to you tonight. I'm not going to spend a lot of time elaborating or embellishing or defining or giving a further explanation. You got to think and let the thought well over you and consider the greatness and the depth of these thoughts. Verse 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him. We find glory. Glory. Understand what I'm talking about? Glory. The glory of God. The glory of Jesus Christ. We see glory mocked. Glory mocked. Made fun of. In chapter 23, verse number 11, and Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him. This glorious one, this one with the glory of God, is mocked repeatedly, and he's mocked before this trial. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. The Word was incarnate. The Word was Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, God, became flesh. And the disciples and the apostles saw his glory. Saw him in his glory. He who was the incarnate Word, full of grace and truth. And we see glory mocked. How in the world could they mock glory? In verse 63 of our text, and the men that held Jesus mocked him, and they smote him, The next thing we see is goodness smitten. Goodness smitten. We maybe could understand ungodliness, sin, immorality, disobedience, the breaking of law. We can fathom probably those who are guilty of offense being smitten. Sometimes it is very appropriate that somebody is smitten for their evil deeds. But in our text, we see goodness smitten. Verse 63 says, they smote Jesus, who knew no sin, who did no sin, who was good and was goodness. Verse 64, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him. They struck him on the face. We see goodness smitten, much as is described in Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Verse 4 and 5, surely, this is prophetic, looking ahead to Christ, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was stricken and smitten and afflicted and wounded and bruised. Goodness smitten. We could understand ourselves being smitten. But goodness, Jesus Christ was smitten because of our sins, not his own. Now back in Luke, here's where the waters get a little bit deeper. You have to think a little harder. You kind of got to pull up your memory on definitions and the attributes of God and Jesus Christ. Verse 64 says, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? Here we see, now listen, omniscience blindfolded. God is omniscient, all-knowing. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's omniscient, as he displays over and over again during the course of his life and testimony. But the omniscient one allows himself to be blindfolded. Do you see that? The all-knowing one allowed sinful man to put a blindfold over his eyes. The omniscient one blindfolded. Verse 64, the last part of the verse. They blindfolded him, and then they struck him. Then they ask him to prophesy. tell us who it was who smacked you. The omniscient one is blindfolded, and they mock him after they have him blindfolded by smacking him and saying, "Now, give us the name of that person." He could have, because he's still omniscient. I'm trying to draw out before you the weighty, the awesome things that we see here as Jesus stands before the council. Omniscience was blindfolded. Verse 63 again. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. Did you catch the first thing in that verse? We see the omnipotent held. The all-powerful, the one who nobody could hold, held by sinful man. And the men that held Jesus, we see the omnipotent held captive. In verse 66, and as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, when the day was come, he was led. He was led. We see the omnipresence being led. The one who is everywhere being led by sinful man into the council. We've seen omniscience, the all-knowing attribute of God. We've seen omniscience blindfolded. We have seen the omnipotent held by sinful man. And we see the omnipresence led from one place to another as though he wasn't already there. In verse 67 and 68, art thou the Christ? The word Christ should always indicate to you the anointed one. Best way to remember when he's called the Christ, it's the anointed one. That's referring to him as the Messiah. Art thou the Christ? Tell us. Jesus' response was, if I tell you, you're not going to believe me. They hadn't believed him up to this point. They didn't want to believe him. They refused to believe him. If I ask you who I am, or if I ask you if I'm the Christ, you're not going to answer. You're not going to be caught in your own trap, and you're not going to let me go. So the Messiah, the chosen one, the revealed one, the revealed one, we see the Messiah, the revealed one, denied. Denied. You're not the Christ. We don't believe you're the Christ. We refuse to believe you are the Christ. In verse 69 and 70, Jesus says, If I tell you, you're not going to believe me. If I ask you, you're not going to answer me. So I'll just tell you this. Hereafter, sometime in the near future, you will see the Son of Man, that speaks of his humanity. You will see the Son of Man, but he's going to be seated on the right hand of the power of God. You will see the Son of Man, speaking of his fleshly side. He was man, he was all man. And you will see him at the right hand of the power of God. That speaks of his glorious side, his deity, his godly side. You're going to see me. And what they're seeing is God. Well, I'm not going to spend any time chasing the facts down that nobody has seen God, nobody can see God. There are many places, and we're seeing this in Genesis, there are many places where God is seen. Because he took on a fleshly body. He's seen because many times in the Old Testament we find appearances of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. And here, God is being seen. Something that man couldn't do. And yet they were seeing God in the person of Jesus Christ and not even seeing what was before them. Art thou the Christ? Art thou then the Son of God? In this episode, we see glory mocked, goodness smitten, omniscience, all-knowing, blindfolded, omnipotence, all-powerful, held captive, omnipresent, all being everywhere, everywhere being. He was led. We see in this episode the Messiah denied. And in all this we see God was seen. All as Jesus Christ was before this council. If you'll spend a little bit of time just chewing on those thoughts. Just deal with the omniscience, the omnipotence, and the omnipresence of God. How that they were all defied while Christ was before this council. Omniscience was blindfolded, omnipotence was held captive, and omnipresence was led from place to place. The omnipotent God became a captive. The omnipotent God became a captive prisoner of wicked men. Now get this, that we might be free. See the depth of that? This is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, the omnipotent one. And he became a captive, he became a prisoner to sinful man, that you and me, that we might be free. That's glorious stuff. Oh, the way God did lower himself, did come down to take on the form of the flesh to be our Savior. Dare we feel comfortable with the love God has for us? Dare we think ourselves worthy of such love? Dare we take for granted grace? None of those things are possible if we understand that the omnipotent God became a prisoner to sinful men that you might be free. We see the omniscient God, the all-knowing God, we see the omniscient God become blind. Why? That you might see. The omniscient God blinded and blindfolded that you and I might see. We see the omnipresent God, the everywhere God, the omnipresent God being led from room to room and place to place, the omnipresent God being led that we might go to heaven, that place of eternal bliss. Jesus before the council, the omnipresent God led, the omnipotent God held captive, the omniscient God blindfolded. Why in the world would the Creator do that? How's the words of that song go? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves me. Doesn't it go on to say, oh, how He loves you and me? That's why Jesus humbly submitted there before the council and let them do what they did. Nobody took His life. He gave it. He allowed all of these things to transpire to be the perfect Savior for you and for me. Let's stand, have a verse of song.